ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 9 चैप्टर 24 टेक्स्ट नंबर 66 चैप्टर एंटाइटल कृष्णा द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड।
जातः पितृगृहात् व्रजम् एदिरार्थो हत्वा रिपून् सूतशतानि कृतो दुधार उत्पाद्यतेषु पुरुषा क्रतुभिः समीजे आत्मानमात्मनिगमं प्रतयाजनेषु
ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पट बाय डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद। ट्रांसलेशन द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड एट श्री कृष्णा नोन एज लीला पुरुषोत्तम अपियर्ड एज अ सन ऑफ वसुदेव बट इमीडिएटली लेफ्ट हिज फादर्स होम एंड वेंट टू वृंदावन to expand his loving relationship with his confidential devotees. In Vrindavan, the Lord killed many demons and afterwards he returned to Dwarka, where according to Vedic principles, he married many wives who were the best of women, begot through them hundreds of sons and performed sacrifices for his own worship to establish the principles of householder life. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 15, verse number 15, Vedesya Sarvair Aham Eva Vedya. By all the Vedas, it is Krishna who is to be known. Lord Sri Krishna, setting an example by his own behavior, performed many ritualistic ceremonies described in the Vedas and established the principles of grihastha life by marrying many wives and begetting many children just to show people in general how to be happy by living according to Vedic principles. The center of Vedic sacrifice is Krishna, Vedesya Sarvair Aham Eva Vedya. To advance in human life, human society must follow the Vedic principles personally demonstrated by Lord Krishna in his householder life. The real purpose of Krishna's appearance, however, was to manifest how one can take part in loving affairs with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Reciprocation of loving affairs in ecstasy are possible only in Vrindavan. Therefore, just after his appearance as a son of Vasudev, the Lord immediately left for Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, the Lord not only took part in loving affairs with his father and mother, the gopis and the cowherd boys, but also gave liberation to many demons by killing them. As stated in Bhagavad Gita 4.8, Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinashaya Chidushkritam, the Lord appears in order to protect the devotees and kill the demons. This was fully exhibited by his personal behavior. In Bhagavad Gita, Lord is understood by Arjun to be Purusham Shashvatam Divyam, the eternal transcendental supreme person. Here also we find the words Utpadya Teshu Purushah. Therefore it is to be concluded that absolute truth is Purusha, a person. The impersonal feature is but one of the features of his personality. Ultimately he is a person. He is not impersonal, and not only is he a Purusha, a person, but he is a Leela Purushottama, the best of all persons.
So we are almost coming to the end of the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. And then just after 2 days, we'll be entering to the tenth canto. That's Krishna's pastimes. The beauty of Srila Prabhupada is that he makes the most sublime aspect of God realization very simple for us to understand. That's the greatness of Srila Prabhupada. Slowly he is getting us to that, you know, to the shelter of the Lord. And here in this purport, particular verse, specifically mentions about how Lord enters or appears as son of Vasudev, and then he goes to Vrindavan, then Dwarka, and saying the how he establishes the Vedic principles by his presence. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentions a very important point. Vedeshya sarvair aham evya vedya. By all the Vedas, I am to be known. Prabhupada, when he went to the West, he went to this MIT. And there he asked a very, very important question. He said that there is so much of knowledge concerning this material world. But where is that department which can explain the science of the soul? There is no department to explain that. And just 3 days back, I was listening to one lecture by Srila Prabhupada, where Srila Prabhupada says, to know science, to know God is actually a science. It's not something where you can just, you know, understand on your own. It's perfect science. Unfortunately, Srila Prabhupada mentions that we are in this material world, and because we are in the material world, we are influenced by the 3 modes of material nature. The material mode of goodness, the mode of ignorance, mode of passion. And Prabhupada said that most of the time, the living entities in the material world are grossly in the mode of ignorance. And very nicely he analyzes what is mode of ignorance, what is mode of passion, and what is mode of goodness. He says mode of ignorance means laziness and sleep, that's all. And mode of passion means he's very active, but Prabhupada says he's foolishly active. And he gives a comparison to the monkey. He says the monkey actually is very active. You never find a monkey sitting at one place doing dhyana or tapasya. Monkey always jumps from one tree to another tree every now and then. He doesn't sit at one place. But foolishly active, you know. So Prabhupada says that in Vrindavan, he says, you know, when a monkey jumps from one place to another place, you just look at a monkey, you don't just sit and admire the monkey. You actually, you know, you are away from that. Because the monkeys are active, but they're foolishly active. So in this material world, he says, most of the time, people are either in the mode of ignorance or in the mode of passion. That means they are lazy, sleepy, and foolishly active. Prabhupada mentions 3 times this particular aspect. He gives a lecture in Vrindavan, and there he is mentioning that they are lazy, sleepy, and foolishly active. He says that only one, when one comes to the mode of goodness, then one can actually understand or actually can know the truth. And from whom? That also he mentions. Prabhupada says that one can understand only someone who is liberated from the influences of 3 modes of material nature. Only that person can make you actually rise to the platform of goodness. That's why every time, whenever we, you know, do any activity or you always take shelter of a representative Lord. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakya Chakshur Unmilatamina Tasmeshi Guruvenama. Because we're born in this material world, we are born in the more, you know, darkest. I am born in the darkest of ignorance. And my spiritual master has opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So the person who can give knowledge is the person who is not influenced by these 3 modes of material nature. That's what is the nature of the Lord's pure representatives. Once Govinda Dasi, she in her memories, very nice particular story which probably every one of you may have read, but then there's no harm in repeating it again. If you hear it again, probably it will help us more. You know, she tells about this sand crab story. Many times she mentions about this particular aspect also. It seems like, you know, every day Prabhupada would go for a walk, and Govinda Dasi would always be one of those, would be accompanying Srila Prabhupada on the walk. So once, on such a morning walk in Hawaii, you know, Prabhupada was walking on the beach with all his disciples, and then he found a small white crabs. And as soon as we approach closer, these white crabs would just run very fast and go into holes. And Prabhupada noticed that, and then that is the nature of Prabhupada. Whenever, anytime he would see something, he would just speak something about it. So Prabhupada started speaking about those crabs. And suddenly, Govinda Dasi mentions that she says that suddenly I hear Prabhupada speaking about instinct. So our ears become a little sharper to find out what Prabhupada is speaking about instinct. So Prabhupada says that in Sanskrit there is no word such as instinct. So Govindarasi is little perturbed because she knows that, you know, in all her knowledge, whatever she has understood from Darwinian theory, everywhere it's mentioned that the living entities act by instinct. So Prabhupada says there's nothing like instinct. So to explain, Prabhupada says that, you know, supposing you have gone to a particular house and you know where is the bathroom. After 20, 25 years, you again come back to that house. Do you need to be reminded where the bathroom should be? Or where the bathroom? You will know, oh yeah, here is the bathroom. After 20 years, after 25 years also, if you go, you will know that there is a bathroom at this particular place, in this particular position. So you don't have to be reminded. Then Prabhupada's second example, he says that, you know, the living entity takes birth in different wombs. And then when the child is born, when the baby is born, the baby, it immediately goes for the mother's breast. The baby doesn't have to be told that, you know, or it's not by instinct that the baby is such. No, the baby knows where the mother's breast is and that's where the baby goes. How? He says the scientist, just to cover up this ignorance, the fact that a super soul is guiding, the scientist said it's instinct. But it's nothing like instinct. It's just super soul is guiding the soul to go to that particular place. He says, whenever you throw some grains on the floor, immediately all the birds come and take up all these grains. So somebody says instinct. No, it's not instinct, Prabhupada mentions. He says the super soul is guiding the bird that here is the food, please go, please go. And that's how the bird goes there and takes the grains. Says there's nothing like instinct. And then Govindas mentions that, you know, Prabhupada just makes us understand things so easy. And then the so-called knowledge which we hear in this material world, something which is to cover up the real knowledge. And the Acharya breaks through this barrier, the covering of this ignorance, and makes us understand or makes us come to the platform of real knowledge. Once she was traveling, or they're walking along the beach, and Prabhupada saw a lot of people surfing. So Prabhupada said, what are they doing? She said, Prabhupada, they are surfing. He says, surfing? They are surfers? But then, no. Prabhupada said, they are not surfers, they are sufferers. And Prabhupada says that they do not know, they spend a whole day in the waters because they like water. Probably in the next life, they may be born as fishes. And they will be just swimming across in the ocean. So that's what is knowledge. Like Ambarish Maharaj, when he was first introduced, he says, Prabhupada, he's Henry Ford, he's a great grandson of, Alfred Ford. He's a great grandson of Henry Ford. So Prabhupada just asked, he says, Henry Ford, where is he now? So Ambarish Prabhu, he's saying that as soon as Prabhupada asked him, where is he now, suddenly struck him that, where is he? He's not there. That means he's no more. Suddenly he said that I was brought onto the transcendental platform by this association of Prabhupada and Prabhupada asking this particular question. So when somebody comes in contact with a pure representative of the Lord, then one is immediately brought to that transcendental platform, at least to the mode of goodness and then to the mode of pure goodness when somebody engages in. Like once Jananivas Prabhu was here, and very, very nice statement he made. A profound statement, but very simple to understand. He said that Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Bhavanam Janmanam Ante Gyanvan Mam Prapadyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. That means after many, 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 many lives, Gyanvan Mam Prapadyate, a person can come to that understanding that Vasudeva Sarvamiti, that he is Vasudev, is the whole and soul. But he says, just imagine the mercy of a spiritual master. That a spiritual master comes, takes you by the hand, or the devotees take you by the hand and get you right in front of the Lord and says, he is Lord here standing. Radha Gopinath is standing here. Worship him and serve him. So what happens is that, like just like in a file, just like in a computer, you just have a full folder and you say delete. Press delete button, the whole folder gets completely vanishes. Similarly, when the spiritual master comes and takes the devotee and shows him how to worship the Lord, then what happens? Bhavanam Janmanam Ante. Everything, all those millions of lives the living entity had to undergo, is everything is deleted. And directly, he comes face to face with the Lord. And he helps him engage in the devotional service of the Lord. That's the mercy of the Guru. And what a Guru does is that he just cuts off, he just deletes, you know, all those lifetimes and lifetimes of birth, you know, so many births that which would have otherwise taken, he just cuts it off and then directly engages or brings it in front of the Lord and engages us in the loving service of the Lord. So here, ultimately, you know, Janayas Prabhu was mentioning that all of us are very fortunate that we are allowed to directly enter under any circumstance. Anyone in any condition of material existence comes and willingly accepts this process of Krishna consciousness, then what happens? He is directly allowed to engage in the service of the Lord. In fact, you know, he said that ultimately all of us are taking part in the Lord's pastimes. Yeah? He says we are all in the Leela of the Lord. Why? He says Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said that Prithivite Achyate Nagradigram Sarvatra Prachara Hoibe Morana. Then all, every town and village, my name will be spread. So this process is still going on. And because we are engaged in this process of preaching this message of the Lord, we are in this Leela. So Janayas Prabhu was saying that actually we are all in the Leela. We are all in the Leela. You know? And he said we are all liberated. We are all liberated. Once Prabhupada mentioned that, Prabhupada said, like this in class, he said, all of you are liberated. You know? Only the problem is that you do not know that. As long as the associated devotees, you are hearing, chanting, you are actually liberated. So Prabhuji was mentioning, Janayas Prabhu was mentioning, ultimately, whoever is taking shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement, they're all liberated. Huh? So one devotee asked, he said, then Prabhupada, if everyone is going to go, he said, everyone is going to go back to Godhead. He said, everyone is going to go back to Godhead, then why are we doing all this preaching and, you know, seminars and everything? Why are we holding all these seminars? He says, this is just to keep you engaged. It's just to keep you busy. Because the human nature is like this, it needs some engagement. You can't just be sitting idle and doing nothing. You need some activity. The intelligence, you know, intellect has to be engaged somewhere. So person who is intellect has to preach. Somebody who can do very wonderful activities can do something with his hands, something with his mind. So when he was asked this question, he said, this is just to keep you engaged, just to keep you busy. But the point to here, to note is that by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, that one directly takes or gets an opportunity to surrender to the lotus feet of the Lord. And that's the nature of the pure representative of the Lord. Prabhupada mentions also in that particular lecture, he said, why is it that person is able to give? Why is it that this person is beyond the influence of three modes of material nature? Because that particular devotee has only one desire, to satisfy Krishna. That's all, nothing else. He has one desire to satisfy Krishna. He says, in this world, everyone is busy to satisfy so many things. Somebody wants to become a politician, somebody wants to become an artist, somebody wants to become a professional, something here and there. But nobody wants to satisfy Krishna. And under the garb of doing that, sometimes he mentions, he says, sometimes a politician may say, I'm doing this activity because I want to serve the nation, I want to serve humanity, I want to serve mankind, I want to serve God. He says, that's not necessary. He says, when you satisfy Krishna, then you can satisfy everything. It can never happen that you become a... Because he says, when somebody is busy, is doing so many activities, how can that person satisfy Krishna? How can that person really? Unless until, you know, he knows, he understands the knowledge coming from the parampara, and then he just utilizes. Prabhupada mentions in one of the interactions, in fact, I think it is a letter to Tejas Prabhu, Prabhupada mentions that all that you do, all the activities you do, like the book distribution you do, the food for life, whatever activities you do, you are not worried about results, he said, Prabhupada. He says, why we do this is that because you can apply those principles of Krishna consciousness while you are doing that. Otherwise, by just book distribution or food for life or any activity you do, if you are just going to be engaged in that and then going to be fighting for the numbers or for the results, then you miss the whole point. The point why you are doing all these things is ultimately some or the other so that you can apply these principles of Krishna consciousness into those activities. Then everything is perfect. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that. He says the pure devotee's job is only to satisfy Krishna. That's the reason why he is beyond the influence of three modes of material nature. And then Prabhupada says that when one takes shelter of such a representative of the Lord, then one also engages directly in the service. How? By serving those who are serving the Lord. That's a mood of being the servant of the servant of the servant. And we are assisting like this, then we really enter into the inner realms or the actual pastimes of the Lord. It's not that somebody can enter into the pastime of the Lord directly. By just serving those representatives of the Lord sincerely, then slowly a stage will come when that thing will be revealed. But the nature of a pure devotee is that he directly makes us enter into those leelas. Like how we are going to enter into the 10th canto by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada with his purports. When we read the purports of Srila Prabhupada, when you read the pastimes with the purports of Srila Prabhupada, we actually understand those pastimes. Here, one very important point Srila Prabhupada is mentioning is about the personality. He says how Krishna is a Purusha. He is a person actually. Krishna is a person. Krishna is not impersonal. He is personal. He has his feelings. He has, compassion. All this nature, emotions, everything Lord has. And not only is a Purusha, he is a Purushottama. He is the best of all persons. And not only is the best of all persons, he is Leela Purushottam. That means he is the best of all persons and whatever activity he does, actually that is all is Leela. Whether he takes part in the battle of Kurukshetra or he gets married to this 16,108 wives or kills the demons or he engages in Rasa Leela. Leela means it's not only Rasa Leela. Leela means any activity the Lord does is a Leela. Pastime. Why? The example is given just like the spider, he creates a web, but the spider is not entangled in the web. So similarly, when Krishna performs the particular pastime, it's not that he gets entangled on it. He just performs for the pleasure to reciprocate the loving feelings of his devotees. That's why Krishna performs these leelas. When we perform any activity, it's not leela. Because we are being forced to act. We are forced to act. Even if we don't want also, we have to do it. We don't want to grow old, but we have to get old. Krishna can remain as a 16-year-old boy. When he was in the battle of Kurukshetra, he was 125 years old, but he still remained a 16-year-old. He never had, have you ever seen Krishna having white hair and mustache and, bending down? No, Krishna was like youthful, 16-year-old boy. He never grew old beyond that. But then you'll see Brahmaji, Bhishma Dev, everyone, having beard. But then Krishna never had that. Krishna was youthful, ever youthful. But it's not like, it's not with us like that. We have to grow old. And when we grow old, we become diseased also. It may not be that we grow old and diseased. Sometimes now we become diseased even at young age also. We don't want to, but still we become. Sometimes out of nothing, just, one fine day something happens and then you know that you are sick. And that's the nature of this material world. Maya is so cruel actually, doesn't spare even a devotee. Doesn't spare a devotee also. The influence of three modes, they come very heavily on the devotee also. Outside, yes, even us, even the devotees also. That's why this particular philosophy is so wonderful that whenever you come to the association of Vaishnavas, when you read Srila Prabhupada's books, when you hear from other Vaishnavas, you know that this material world is a place of suffering. Nowhere else you will know or anybody will speak about this suffering. But anywhere you hear Srila Prabhupada's lectures or in his books, you'll find that somewhere there is a misery mentioned. Just to bring us to the hard fact of reality that we are in a place of misery. We think that we are enjoying, but one day we got such a tight slap and we realize what's happened. I was all right. Just like our dear God brother, right now he's recovering from a severe brain hemorrhage. His driver said that, he just said that I have some chest pain, I just want to go to the hospital for a checkup. He just went there, he had an angiography angioplasty. He was talking to his family members very nicely. And suddenly in the night, he just could not recognize. He had a delirium and then he had this brain hemorrhage. All of a sudden, just imagine 2 days back and what happened 2 days after. You know, Maya is so cruel. So when you hear like this from Srila Prabhupada, then we realize, understand, you know, then that realization dawns upon you. Like yesterday I was hearing another lecture of Prabhupada. The first sentence is, so this place is the place of suffering. You know, it starts with that. So when he says a place of suffering, when you see something has happened, then you realize, yeah, actually it's a place of suffering. You know, and then we make so many arrangements for so many things, we make so many plans, but nobody makes plans to go back to Godhead. We make so many plans, you know, so many plans to do so many things, but nobody plans to go back. But the reality is that everyone has to grow old, everyone has disease. It's not like what Krishna is. Krishna can remain young, Krishna can be the same youthful nature, you know. I'll just share with you one very nice incident which happened with me, in the sense, now we are entering into the 10th canto. I had the fortune to attend or do a root canal treatment for the person who acted as Kamsa in Krishna Leela, in Mahabharata. His name is Goga Kapoor. You know, now he is a person who has played a role of a villain. You know, villain means like actually he was a terror. You look at his face and, you know, person will get scared. It was like that. So he was rightly chosen to play the role of, you know, Kamsa. And whoever has seen that Mahabharata serial will know how that person actually exhibited his, you know, terror to show that how fierce was Kamsa. How much he could instill terror in the hearts of people. So he was rightly chosen to play the role of that Kamsa's role. So just about 6 years back, I had the fortune to attend to him and wanted to do a root canal treatment for him. Of course, that time he was maybe 62, 63 years old. So just imagine that, you know, to give him an injection, it took me 10 minutes because you're so fearful there on the chair. The person who could instill fear in others, he was scared to even take anesthesia. You know, it took 10 minutes to give him anesthesia because very scared to do a root canal treatment. The same root canal treatment which would be otherwise completed in half an hour, it took 1 hour for him. But because he was a celebrity, we had to pamper him, say, no, nothing, everything's going to be all right, this, so and so, you know. But I was wondering, I said, this person who is such a fierce personality on the screen, and here he's getting scared, you know. Now, this is not the Leela. He actually is a reality. He is scared. Externally, it may appear to the outside world that he is, you know, a very strong person. Anybody looks at him, he'll be... Of course, he's a God-fearing person. He's a very sattvic person. You know, he never had onion garlic. That's what, you know, that's the thing. He's such a sattvic. Of course, he was never a worshipper of Krishna. But what I want to tell you is that, you know, you're so scared. Like that. So somebody scared of just a small prick, that is also a fact. Well, for somebody else it may be just a simple act, but for him it was a very torturous thing to get a prick to be taken, you know. So this is what happens. But Krishna is not like that, you know. When Krishna becomes scared of Mother Yashoda, he can be scared and simultaneously he can scare everyone. In the Shastra, when Kapil Muni says that, you know, everything around in this world moves around by fear of Krishna. Mad bhayat vati vayam suryas tapati mad bhayat varshata indra mrityu apasiva. From my fear, this wind is blowing, the sun is rising, the rains are pouring. And even fear mrityu, that is death personified, is fearful of me. And here, Mother Yashoda is afraid of Mother Yashoda and runs after, you know. That's how. Krishna's is absolute and whatever he does is also absolute. Like when Krishna steals means, you know, he is glorified as Makan Chor. When somebody in the world steals means he is put behind bars. When 2G scam and other scams, you are tested completely. Here, when Krishna steals means he is glorified. he is glorified. Prabhupada also, when you're talking about stealing, Prabhupada's instance is also there, where in London he just went to this Goel's house. He invited that, I have some deities, you please come and see those deities. Actually, he was expecting some money from that deities. So Prabhupada went there, and so he was engaged in some discussion, and then Goel said, do you want to see my deities? He says, no, we'll see later on. I am, you know, and just going on. And then ultimately said, I want you to show my deities. Yeah, oh, okay, show me. And then after he showed the deities, so Prabhupada just, you know, did not express much. And he said, Tamal Krishna, just see how much it, whether it's heavy or not, just see whether you can lift it. And he said, you know, Shyam Sundar, can you lift Radharani, just see. And they understood what was Prabhupada's motive. They just went away. And before Goel could understand, they were all in the car, and then said, thank you very much, and they left. Prabhupada even did not stay back for Goel to say anything that, you know, but Prabhupada, I want to, we'll get it. No, we can carry ourselves. And then just went, you know. And after going a little ahead, then Prabhupada made the car's van stop, and then he had this darshan of the deities. And he said, they come. And that's how they are, Radha, London is stole. So, you know, Prabhupada also stole, but that's glorified. Prabhupada stealing those deities and glorified, they worship still. Anyhow, the thing is, Krishna, when he does any activity, he's called as Makan Chor. You know, when he steals kheer for his devotee, he's called as Kheer Chor. In Remuna, he's been worshipped as Kheer Chor Gopinath. Right? In Dakor, he's known as Ran Chor because he ran away from the battlefield. Now, who can be glorified like this? But Krishna, because he's absolute, whatever he does, you know, he's absolute. And because whatever he does is absolute, he's glorified by those. In the deity form also, what to speak of Krishna here in this Kali Yuga, in the deity form, Krishna performed so many wonderful activities. In Udupi, Balakrishna turned fully 180 degrees, just for a devotee. Kanaka Das was a devotee who was a Shudra by caste, and because of which he was not allowed to enter in the temple. The caste Brahma did not allow him to enter, but he would sing so wonderful songs in glories of the Lord. And he had that strong desire to see. So he was trying to peep through the window, just glorifying. And the Lord suddenly turned from east to west. And now he's only facing west. And the window broke. And through that, Kanaka Das could see the darshan, have the darshan of the Lord. And now, the whole year, except for one day, I think, they close the main door. And anyone who wants to see has to see from the other side. And he said that before you enter the temple, you have to first see the darshan, have the darshan of the Lord through the window of Kanaka. The deity turning 180 degrees. Just for the Lord, first for one of his devotees. Time is short, but then I just conclude with one particular episode. You know, how the deity performs Lila. This is in the pastime of Shyamanand Pandit. Shyamanand Pandit was told by his guru, Jiva Goswami, to go to Orissa and preach. So he went to a place called as Narsingapur with his disciple Rasikananda in the Mayurbhanj district. And there was this dacoit, Uddhanda Rai, who would always, you know, whenever there would be any Vaishnavas passing by, he would just kill them, torture them, steal from them, and then kill them completely. That sort of a personality he was. But before he reached that place, Shyamanand Pandit knew that this Uddhanda Rai is there. In that area. But before he went there, Uddhanda Rai had got a dream. And in the dream, just this person came in front. He said, one personality will come in front of you and you should surrender to this person. And within few hours, when Shyamanand Pandit came there, Uddhanda Rai saw him and immediately surrendered his life to him. But as Jagai Madhai surrendered to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, their sinners, they said, I performed so many sins. So Uddhanda Rai, he actually went to shelter. He actually confessed that so many 718. What he would do is he would just steal those Vaishnavas' clothes, everything. And then these clothes he would keep it. And there were piles of, especially asanas. You know, it's mentioned that there are a lot of asanas of the Vaishnavas. There were piles of asanas. How many? 718 Vaishnavas he had tortured, he had killed them. And then after killing them, he would put them in a well. And that well was still there. And he confessed everything that I have killed. I have made so many sins. But just by taking shelter of a pure representative, he was brought to the platform of Shuddha Sattva. And engaging damsel service, loving service, he was relieved from all his sins. And there, Shamana Pandit, he actually established his place of residence in that place, in Narsingapur. And in the year 1630, he left his body. But before that, he established a deity. His name is Mohanjiv. And he said that he should be established in Narsingapur. And after his demise, after he left his body, there is a bhajan kutir and his full samadhi over there in Narsingapur. And after Shamanand Pandit left, his disciple became the mahant. He became the temple manager there. But that area did not have any, you know, people to support. So this person would perform deity worship, and at the same time he would plow the field, because this temple had some agriculture field to its name. So whatever is grown in the agriculture field, that would be used for the deity worship. So this person would personally perform deity worship, would actually plow the land. But one day, it seems, he fell sick. He was not able to get up also. And then some other pujari was made to take care of the deities. But they was made to take care of the deities, but then he was not able, there was no one to plow the field. So this person, the mahant, he actually started praying to Mohanjiv, this deity, and said, please, you know, my dear Lord, nobody is there to plow the field. Something should be done, because otherwise, if I don't plow the field, I cannot grow any grains, and if I don't grow grains, I cannot serve you properly, my dear Lord. So he was feeling very repentant, he was pleading to the Lord. And then it so happened that the next day, the pujari found that the flute of Mohanji was absent, and the hands and the feet were full of mud. She's wondering what happened. And the next moment, the neighbor comes and he says, do you know that the agriculture, your field which is there, is so nicely plowed? And he was glorifying this month, so wonderfully you have plowed this field. So he was wondering, how is it possible? Because I am sick here, and pujari never did anything. They all went to inspect that place and said that that particular place was actually plowed. The entire field was plowed. And then when they went near, they found something shiny. And when they saw something, you know, they started to go to see what is there, and that was the flute of Mohanjiv. You know? So Mohanjiv actually, you know, did that plowing of the field for this. So now this is happening just recent. Like this, so many pastimes the Lord does in the deity form also, which we all know, which we have heard. You know, we see Jagannath's pastimes, we see so many Lord's pastimes. So the deities also perform this particular leela, you know. So ultimately, as Srila Prabhupada mentions, that Krishna performs his pastimes to attract our minds and hearts. Otherwise, our mind naturally needs something to go for. We know in every cinema, whoever sees a film, they know that hero is going to be the winner. Even if there are 20 villains also, the hero is going to be winner. Never has been any movie made where the villain has taken the heroine and gone away. And that's the end of the story, no. But still, everyone wants to see the movie. Why? Because that nature is there to find out what's happening. Similarly, you know, just if Krishna just comes, kills, goes away, you know, how are you going to engage our mind in hearing? Krishna performs his pastimes. Prabhupada mentions that Krishna performs pastimes to attract the conditioned souls to this. And when we hear them, because Krishna is absolute, when we hear the Lord's pastimes, the Lord's glories, our heart becomes purified ultimately. And when our hearts become purified, ultimately we come to that platform where we can engage in the loving service of the Lord, in the mood of the servant of the servant, you know, just following in the footsteps or following the instructions of the pure representatives of the Lord. So this is the reason here Prabhupada mentions that the real purpose of Krishna's appearance is to manifest how one can take part in loving affairs with Supreme Personality. So that's what ultimately we are given an entrance into. You know, but for that we just have to follow in the instructions of the previous acharyas, following the instructions sincerely, seriously, and then we can really enter into that realm. That's the purpose. Otherwise, here in this world, you know, it's not a world to live. It's a miserable world. Anything can happen at any time. But we know that Krishna is smiling, Krishna is waiting for all of us, and that's the only place, the sure place where we can be assured that there's not going to be any suffering. It's always going to be eternal bliss. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. I'm sorry, I went over time. Grantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.